I hope you've had a good helping of steak this week. And plenty of sauce to help it slide down the throat, you know. I'll be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to exhort you a little bit over the offering. I want to tell you about one other thing that happened early this year. If you go to GaryCarpenter.org and go to the media and then the recent teachings page, as I was preparing to go teach the morning that I taught lesson 291 there, just as I was about to leave the house, I was looking over the teachings from the previous year, which we had spent almost a year primarily in the book of Ephesians. And I didn't know this was about to happen, but as I'm looking at that list, now not literally, but my eye saw 11 sermons be highlighted like with a yellow marker. And the Holy Ghost told me that that particular set of messages is essential for where He's taking the body of Christ next. It happened very quick. I didn't have time. I probably would have chosen other ones. It's not that the rest of them aren't important, but nobody has time probably to go back and listen to all of those again. But if you'll go to the website, go to media, click on media, then recent teachings, at lesson 291, you'll see a little thing you can click, and it says, see list of associated teachings, okay? And it gives you a list of them right there. That's the 11 that he gave. I think it's 11. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, maybe 10. Anyway, the list is there. And then that, to find those previous ones, you'll go, well, I don't see them on the page. Well, you're looking at 2011. At the top of the page, you click on a link that's previous years. So click on last year's. And some of the titles, I won't give you all of these, but one of them is The Species of Light, One New Man, Think Like a New Creature. Who is this new man? The Order of Melchizedek. What is outer darkness? Glimpses of light. No longer in Adam. And the last one is the unbreakable covenant. Now you can take yourself out of the new covenant, but you can't break the new covenant. It's not between you and God. It's between God the Father and God the Son. Can't be broken. You can remove yourself from it. So I recommend those to you. Again, the list, just go to the recent teachings for this year. Look near at lesson 291, right below it. You'll see that list. And you can take it from there. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to pick it up with the verse that Jim used this morning. Verse 9. In my early years, praying and meditating these things, when the Lord was unteaching me, He was unteaching and unraveling all of that junk that I had been taught during the 80s by the prosperity preachers. Hundredfold return, you know, debt-breaking anointing, on and on and on it goes. Luke 6:38, the wrong way. And one day He showed me this verse, 2 Corinthians 8:9, is the foundation verse for all New Testament prosperity. Because Jesus did it all. So let's read the verse. So He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, now stop, where was He rich? He was rich in heaven. You ever read about heaven? Diamond doorknobs, jasper walls, street made out of gold. You know, He had it made in the shade, if you'll allow me. I mean, why come to this sin-ridden, poverty-stricken place, you know? But He was rich. And yet for your sakes, He became poor. Now, when did He really become poor? I don't see Him being poor all through the Gospels. He had everything that He needed. But see, it's on the cross. All that in there about His robe being taken from Him and divided, they cast lots for that robe, is in there for a reason. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But for your sakes, He became poor that you, through His poverty, now notice, not your giving, through His poverty, might be rich. This verse is easy to understand if I said it like this. Though you know the grace, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was righteousness itself, yet for your sakes he became sin, that you, through his punishment, could become the righteousness of God in him. Got that? He bore our sin, did he not? How about this one? He who is health incarnate, yet for your sake he bore your sicknesses and carried your pains, and by his stripes you are healed. He bore our sin, and he bore our sickness. Now the third one. See, the threefold curse of the law was spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. In all of our little Sunday school pictures that they had hanging on the wall of Jesus on the cross, it always shows him with a loincloth, and I understand why they do that, and they should do that. But the Roman cross was intended not only to kill you, it was for ultimate humiliation, ultimate pain. It was a warning to anybody else, don't you rebel against Rome. So when they took his garments from him, he didn't have anything. The last possession, even his garment, was taken from him on that cross. And on that cross, he bore our poverty. He bore our sin. He bore our sickness. And he bore our poverty. We have the right to his righteousness. We have the right to his health. And we have been made joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And it's all based on his finished work. Don't ever approach God on your righteousness. Don't ever come approaching him with your checkbook, showing him in nothing. Now, he watches your stewardship. It's not like he doesn't. But you don't approach him based on your righteousness. I approach him based on his righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus. Amen? One other thing I want to share with you in this chapter. It says, Paul, what's going on here? There's a famine going on in Jerusalem. So the Jewish Christians are suffering need. So Paul is going through all the Gentile churches, the Corinthians, the Galatians, and all the Macedonians, what's called the Gentile churches at the time, although really there's one new man. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. But at the time there was somewhat of a division, you know. I mean, the Jews were having a little bit of a hard time with, we've been serving you for centuries, and you're making these swine-eating Gentiles equal. They're having a hard time believing, you know. So one thing about a Jew, I mean, you know, you put your money where your mouth is, gets your attention. And Paul knew it would help break down that barrier if all of these Gentile churches would, from a love motive, take up an offering to help them. So he's just giving instructions, but there's something in here that'll really help you the next time you're at certain conferences. So starting in verse 10, he says, "Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. You who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago, now therefore perform the doing of it." He's talking about the giving of the offering. "That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Did you get that? You ever been in a service where, oh, I feel the anointing of God. God's just now telling me there is a special blessing on $1,000 offering tonight. Anyone who can give $1,000, now some of you, you may not have it on you. You may not have it in your bank account, but you've got that credit card. Some of you, you know, how many of you need a blessing from God? And here they start manipulating you. They have no scripture for that whatsoever. There is no such thing as that at all. God looks on the heart, and it says, if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to what you have, not according to what you have not. Notice the very next verse. He says, "I mean not that other men be eased and you burdened." He's not intending for you to go into debt in order to relieve somebody else. No, and he goes on to tell you, he says, "But at this time there might be an equality. Whatever you have left over." He's not wanting you to take the baby's milk money and give it away. He says, no, out of your abundance. It really goes all, he quotes from the manna here in just a little bit. It goes all the way back to the manna, what God would taught him for 40 years. Look, some of you is going to gather little, some of you is going to gather much. God doesn't like it when anybody goes to bed hungry. He says, take of your abundance. If you gathered much and there's an abundance, you have some left over, share it with your brethren so that we don't have any babies going to sleep hungry tonight. Isn't that right? So the next, you know what I do now? That when they start that stuff, he's still working on me. I was a truck driver for a long time. Before that, I was in construction. When they start that stuff, that's unless the Lord specifically overrides my will, I'm probably not going to give in that offering. I don't like manipulation. I don't like preachers that do it. And, you know, I figure either they're doing it on purpose or they're dumb. And either one, I don't know if I want to give into that. See? But if the Lord says to, because now sometimes, He'll have you do it even still. You know why? Maybe that minister is the only minister ministering to a certain group of people. He says, that's all I've got. It's all I've got. He's the only one. Now, messed up or not, he's the only fella bringing Jesus to this group of people. He might override it still yet and have you give to him. Always remember, the head of the body is Christ. What really matters is hear him and do what he says. Amen? If the ushers would come forward, we'll go ahead and take the offering tonight. And remember, it is accepted according to what you... or should I revert back, Jim? The anointing is... There's a special... No, okay. He's looking on your heart. You know what Sue and I have found as we've traveled and ministered? We don't normally find people in the body of Christ trying to figure out ways to give less money to God. We really don't. Most of them that we find, they're trying to figure out how to pay the bills and send their kids to school and be able to give God more money. Well, I think as we walk more into our inheritance, like we talked about this morning, as we walk more into that inheritance, I know this, if God feels at all about me, the way that Sue and I feel about our grandchildren, we are living way below our inheritance. Our God has a lot more for us than we're currently receiving. Father, you heard what was spoken. Nobody was bribed. Nobody was threatened. They don't fear a curse if they don't give. They know it's accepted according to what they have, not according to what they have not. So, Father, everything that goes into this offering tonight, you know it's coming from hearts that love you. They want to support the work of the gospel. They want to support make sure that the bills are paid, Lord, and that we can continue to do your work in the earth. Father, I just thank you for your blessing upon all your children. In Jesus' name, amen.